The Knicks find themselves up 2-0 on the Indiana Pacers and now head to Indy where they'll be without OG Anunoby and possibly be without Jalen Brunson. Let's talk about it. They're playing
basketball. Basketball.
Basketball. You're listening to the Knicks Nation Podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! He ties the game!
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What's going on, Knicks Nation? This is episode 52 of the Knicks Nation Podcast. We are back after game two. Game three is coming up here. New York Knicks have a 2-0 series lead on the Indiana Pacers. Obviously, a lot to talk about tonight. The injuries, Jalen Brunson's heroics. But first, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. You know, I thought I'd be a lot more happier being up 2-0 against the Indiana Pacers, you know. But, you know, we got that injury bug again to talk about, man. Can't shake it. Can't shake a feeling. But how are you feeling tonight, Ant?
I'm actually feeling okay. You know, the game was absolutely incredible. Obviously, on the anniversary of the Willis Reed coming out the day, I mean, anniversary. I mean, it's crazy. Jalen Brunson leaves the second quarter, comes back third quarter, pretty much trying to settle the crowd down, ultimately comes back and fuels the New York Knicks to a 2-0 series lead. And obviously, a lot to talk about in that game. Anunoby, I thought, really set the tone in that game. But unfortunately, I guess that's why, you know, you're sad. Because, look, I was super happy. And then, like, today, I'm like, damn, like, Anunoby, he's already been ruled out for game three, and Woj said he's probably not going to play in game four. So, yeah, Knicks are dropping like flies. You know, we're dropping like flies, but the Knicks always find a way to overcome their injuries. And look, We'll talk about who we think will replace Anunoby in the starting lineup and whatnot, and the rotation, what the rotations will look like, but yeah, but Chris, we're still up 2-0. You know, we just need two more wins to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Does that make you happier?
It does. It does, man. Look, overall, I feel pretty good. It's just a bummer, you know, the injury bug is hitting us. You know, I mean, look, it's hit us all season, so I really should be conditioned to this already, but it sucks, man. You know, OG Anunoby was out there literally giving you one of the best offensive games of the season, if not the best he's had as a Knick for sure. And it's just a shame, man, that he had to leave this game. But with that said, you know, look, we're up 2-0, so I can't complain, man. I can't complain.
Yeah, up 2-0. And the Celtics just lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers, so that's hilarious, by the way. Wow. So, look, Brunson is questionable for game three. I figure I just threw the Celtics loss in there just to throw them a little jab, you know?
Yeah, the unbeatable Celtics, you know, that you're hearing about all over the media.
Exactly. So Brunson is questionable for game three. And Anunoby's out. So who do you think is going to replace Anunoby in that starting five? Do you feel like, I don't know, who do you think is going to replace Anunoby in the starting five?
I think we saw it. We saw it last night. I mean, it has to be Precious.
Yeah,
you know, Precious was in there, and he was just, you know, he was good. Obviously, you're not going to get as much as an offensive punch as you would with OG Anunoby, but he does go out there and do a lot of things defensively that you like. And I think he had two or three offensive boards late in that game, which were huge for us. So
yeah,
I think it'll be Precious.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Precious. I think we're going to look up a starting five of Brunson, DiVincenzo, Hart, Precious, and Isaiah Hartenstein. And it's whether, and the bench is going to be the real question mark, in my opinion. It's whether Shake Milton will get in there or whether Alec Burks will get in there. We saw Alec Burks in game two. So my guess, it will probably be Alec Burks. But don't sleep on Shake Milton, because when Shake Milton got in there, he showed us quite a bit, you know, bigger body, more of a defender than Alec Burks, and can shoot the ball. So It's just whether or not you think Tom Thibodeau is going to go that route, but I think Alec Burks will ultimately get a run because you cannot just play six guys. You can't play six guys, especially dealing with this Brunson injury. I was listening to the Alan Hahn show today, and he said he was hearing some things about how Jalen Brunson was able to get back on the court in the second half, and he said that he pretty much, he didn't say it, but he insinuated that he went into the ice bath, and they were doing everything to try to get him back on the court, and ultimately he did get back on the court. Now he's still questionable, but I'll be shocked if Jalen Brunson doesn't play in game three. So yeah,
likewise, I'll be shocked as well. You know, it is interesting because he came out and, like you said, he tried to quiet the crowd down and his teammates at that. You know, everybody was hyped to see him come back after missing almost an entire quarter and a half, you know.
Yeah,
so you know, that did concern me at first because I was like, oh, hold up, it might not be a go. But, you know, he gave it a shot and the rest was history, right? You know, talk about, you know, on the anniversary of Willis Reed coming out the tunnel and you have Jalen Brunson, you know, that gave me, you know, after the game when I thought about it, that just gave me chills, man. It was just insane. Yeah. But, you know, in game three, who knows what we're going to get from Jalen Brunson. You know, if there's some swelling or something like that, it could bother him. But look, in the past postseason with Jalen Brunson, he was bothered by ankle injuries, and you wouldn't know it. He went out there, he's a warrior, and he's not going to use it as an excuse. He's going to go out there and battle no matter what.
Yeah, well said. Look, JB's a warrior. Like I think Dante or Josh Hart, one of them said it. If he's walking, he's going to play. And that's what he did in the second half. And ultimately, he looked good in the second half. Like, I didn't see a hobbled Jalen Brunson. I mean, did you notice anything? Like, I didn't really see. When he came in in the third quarter, when, like, he was more off the ball.
Yeah.
And Dante was bringing the ball up. Hart was bringing the ball up more. But as the second half progressed, he just looked like Jalen Brunson. So the injury is like mysterious. We don't know what it is. They're saying it has to be more than just a sore foot. But hey, right, he's out there, he's playing. That's all that matters. So
yeah. I feel the same. I mean, they said sore right foot.
Yeah.
And then when you look at right before he got taken out, you know, or even when he got hurt, he was more so grabbing towards, you know, his groin area, maybe the hamstring area. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't seem like a right foot type of thing to me. But, hey, I'm no doctor, right? But I will say, when he did come out, when he came back and they had Jalen Brunson in there, like you said, Dante brought up the ball. Josh Hart brought up the ball. They kind of hit Brunson a little bit in the corner for the first few possessions. Every now and then, Brunson would bring it up a little bit, try to do a quick step. To me, that was him testing it in game action. And then once TJ McConnell started getting into it with Brunson, that's kind of when Brunson was like, you know what? It's now or never. And he was a full go after that. So shout out to TJ McConnell for poking the bear and bringing Brunson back.
Shout out to TJ. Shout out to Rick Carlisle for benching TJ McConnell. You want to cry about something, Rick Carlisle? How about cry about your coaching? Yeah. You know, you want to cry about these refs and, oh, they're not treating us right, our small market teams, and, oh, we just want a chance to win the game. You benched McConnell. You put in Nembhard. Nembhard is the target. I've been saying it all series long. When Brunson sees Nembhard guarding him, it is barbecue chicken. That's what Brunson sees. So cry about it. I mean, keep crying. Keep crying about it. So
I thought that was a key. I mean, look, that was a key of the game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's no secret TJ McConnell has been a pest. I said it before this series even started that he was going to be a problem for us, you know, as far as being one of those pesky Kyle Lowry types. But look, TJ McConnell has been the answer when it comes to Jalen Brunson. Don't get me wrong. JB is still scoring on TJ McConnell, but it's not easy. Not as easy as he's getting buckets against Aaron Nesmith or even Nembhard at that. So if I was Rick Carlisle, I would have left TJ McConnell in there. And you saw TJ McConnell on the sideline. He looked kind of pissed, man. I'm sure he wanted to be out there. I'm sure he knows he's having a big impact on this series. granted, they're down, you know, two games, but, you know, to me, that's a bad coaching job by Rick Carlisle. You can't just, you know, if a player is having a, you know, if a player's having an impact for you, why are you going to take him out late and insert somebody else who, yes, can make some shots, but is getting cooked left and right? Doesn't make sense.
Exactly. S550 says in the chat, appreciate every single one of you joining us tonight. S550 says, definitely going to be harder to take a game in Indiana without OG Anunoby, but we definitely can't do it without our king, number 11. Yeah, look, OG Anunoby obviously is the main defender on Pascal Siakam. And right when OG Anunoby left the game, you saw Pascal Siakam kind of get going a little bit. The length that Siakam has over Josh Hart, that's why the Knicks put Precious on him. Yeah, so guarding Siakam is going to be a major like team. It's going to be a team effort all around. And look, I got faith in the guys. It's next man up. But losing Anunoby was just like a punch in the gut. Such like a fluke play, running a fast break. And he stayed on the ground. You could see him in pain. And it just didn't look good. Like, the Knicks are calling it a strained hamstring. They're not telling us how bad of a strain it is. So we just don't know. But all we know is that he's out for game three, more than likely out for game four. So that leaves him with 4 days rest. And then game five, in between game four and game five, I think the New York Knicks have two more days off. So that's essentially a week off for OG Anunoby. I'm not sure if he'll get back for that. Maybe. Look, all we got to do is get two more. Can we get two wins without OG Anunoby is a real question. Do you think we can get two wins without two more wins and then we advance without OG Anunoby?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. As long as Jalen Brunson is on that court, we have a chance. You know, that's always been pretty much our mantra the entire season. And it still stands true now, right? Look, Jalen Brunson is a big piece of what we're doing. He's the biggest piece. And as Brunson goes, we go.
Yeah. Big Taz says, question, do you think Jalen Brunson should rest and we give the Pacers a chance to win so they can stop crying? Man, oh, man. When Carlisle said that stuff in the post-game interview, I was dumbfounded. But it actually crossed my mind, Chris, about, like, I know it's like a crazy thought and I probably sound stupid in saying it. But Knicks are up 2-0. Brunson is hobbled. Anunoby's out. I don't, like, obviously you want your guys to be there, you know, for the next round. But we have to win this round in order to get to the next round. I don't know. It just came across me like, what if we, like, just game three? All right. Have your little fun. Do whatever you have to do to win that game, Indiana. Because remember, let's say Brunson, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but let's say Brunson's out and Anunoby's out. Anunoby's already out. But in the first round, the Indiana Pacers lost to the Milwaukee Bucks without Dame and without Giannis one game. So it's possible. So it just came across my mind like, oh, maybe give Brunson an extra couple of days and send him out there on Mother's Day for game four. But I know that's not how we operate, right? As soon as I thought about that, I was like, nah, that's not how we operate. Let's take game three. Let's
No way, man. No way. You know, especially with Tibbs, man. If you're good to go, he's gonna send you out there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't send you out there to try to lose. You know, we're out there trying to win. So in my opinion, you go out there and you try your best to steal game three at Indy.
Yeah.
And I think that's gonna be, you know, that's gonna be the goal. Is to go out there. And look, even without OG Anunoby, I still think the Knicks have enough no matter what, simply because we play defense. We play defense, and the Indiana Pacers, you know, don't. Simple as that. They don't. They don't. You know, you're telling me the Knicks scored 131 points in game two against the Indiana Pacers, and Jalen Brunson missed a quarter and a half? I mean, come on. It's there, you know? It's our defense that's going to win us this series.
Stanley in the chat says, you play to win the game.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. S550 says, can we talk about how the media openly hating on the Knicks? It almost feels like envy. Yeah, like I posted a few things about it, Chris, but I mean, the TNT crew, to me, it's just deeper than basketball regarding them. Don't really want to spend, too much time on that. But it's deeper than basketball, whether you think they hate somebody. They hate the owner, or they don't like Dibs, or they don't like the agent, the former agent of Leon Rose. It's something other than basketball. It's deeper than basketball. So that's my just two cents on that. But what do you guys say about that?
I mean, at this point, and look, after game two, I stupidly watched the TNT post game coverage, thinking that this is it. We're finally going to get some type of praise, whatever. And it didn't really come, right? Instead, what would we got? Shaq making faces, egging on Charles Barkley, talking about how New York is overrated, this and that is overrated. We're not that good. Oh, we're just going to get smashed by the Celtics in the next round anyway, and they're going to take pleasure in watching that happen. That's what we get. That's what we get. So like you said, I'm basically done with the media, it's like Knicks for clicks basically at this point. They're just trying to do whatever they can, because it gets rating. They'll say anything bad about the Knicks and they don't give us the props we deserve,
Yeah.
They do talk about Jalen Brunson and give him some flowers, but the Knicks as a team, they always try to bring us down, man.
Yeah, it's a constant feeling of having to prove yourself. And right. That's, the Brunson mentality, and that's how we feel as Knicks fans. We always feel like we have to prove ourselves to them. But at this point, I'm like, I don't care what they think. But
exactly.
Look, all we have to get is two more wins. We're up 2-1 in this series. We took care of business in Madison Square Garden. That's what you want to do. The Indiana Pacers have not lost in their home arena since March 18th. So that's going on almost 2 months here. That is a tough place to play. I'm sure game three is going to be loud. It's going to be hectic. I'm sure that's probably why Rick Carlisle was setting up for this game three to give his team a puncher's chance, because he knows his team has been the softer team in this series. The Knicks have outplayed them. The Knicks have outcoached them. The Knicks have pretty much been the better team. And look, coming into this series, we knew that the Knicks were the better team. And we're up 2-0. And now all we have to do is steal one in Indiana. That's all we have to do, is take one in Indiana like we did in Philly. And no OG Anunoby, it's going to be tough. But I think we can get the job done. And if we win game three, suck the soul out of the Indiana Pacers. Make Rick Carlisle say something else. What now, Rick? What are you going to say now, Rick? It's always like, oh, we should be up. Like the 76ers series. Oh, we should have been up 3-2. That's what they were saying on their side.
Yep.
So, yeah, just get game three. Suck the soul out of them. Because Boston, they lost tonight. So
they're not unstoppable. They're not unstoppable. Yeah. But look, it's no secret, right? The officiating has been crazy this entire playoff series. With the, whether you want to go to the 76ers game or you want to go to, game one or game two, whatever, of the Pacers series, the officiating has always been questionable at times. But this isn't the 76ers series, In my opinion, game one and game two versus the Pacers hasn't been that badly officiated. Did we get some breaks? Yes. Hell yeah, we did. But they also had their chances as well, and I don't know, man. I just think it's ridiculous, this entire narrative that Rick Carlisle is trying to throw out there, where basically, oh, it's a small market team, so of course they want New York to win, blah, blah, blah. The refs are basically gifting us wins now. I don't buy that, man. I don't buy that. Because when you look at the playoff landscape, what other teams out there that are smaller markets that are just booming right now? Minnesota, OKC. Come on. They're right there with, as far as being a small market with Indy. So I feel like that's just BS, man. Whether he's trying to just rile up their guys there and basically make it it's the entire NBA against us type of thing. I don't know. Maybe that's what he's going for. But come on, man. You're not talking about some of the craziness we saw in the 76ers series with the referees here. It's nowhere close to it.
Got a poll in the YouTube chat. Are you concerned about the Knicks' health woes? Yes or no, we will be fine. That's up to 28 votes. Yes is winning at 54%. Look at just dropping like flies, man. It's like a punch in the gut. It's like going down the list. Randall out for the season. Mitch Robinson out for the season. Bojan Bogdanović out for the season. Now we have to deal with this OG Anunoby injury that doesn't look great. I mean, like I've seen a lot of hamstring injuries throughout watching basketball, even in football. And those are tricky. Those are extremely tricky. But all we have to do is hope for the best for OG Anunoby. Hopefully he gets the Jalen Brunson treatment, whatever they did to Jalen Brunson in that second quarter. They sprinkled pixie dust or I don't know what they did in that second quarter, but they got him right. And because look, Anunoby's a major piece to this puzzle. And the beauty is if we win, we wrap this series up quickly, you know, we got maybe like 8-9 days until the Eastern Conference Finals. So that has to be in your mind as well. But I want to go back to Alec Burks or Shake Milton. Obviously, we think it's more likely going to be Precious to start because he'll probably be put on Siakam. But Deuce, I mean, we haven't brought up Deuce yet.
Yeah.
He's been MIA these first couple of games. Missing in action, Deuce McBride. Hasn't provided really anything off the bench. And it's shocking because in round one, he was playing so well for us. Hitting his shots, hitting his open threes, mid-range, defense still there. But on top of Burks or Shake Milton, I think Deuce has to be, come on, Deuce. We need you.
Yeah, and you said it. You know, Deuce was big in the 76ers series, you know? He was out there making big shots. His defense was on point. And then when you flip now to the Indy series where you figured, you know, he's not defending someone like a Maxi or quicker guard. You know, these guys are much slower in that aspect. He's looking kind of like he's just all over the place, you know? He's not just that steady defensive presence for whatever reason. And not giving us much, you know? Last game, he had 4 points, 1 of 4 from the free throw, you know, from field goal. And then in the game one against Indy, he basically was a no-show. Had just 2 shot attempts and didn't make any.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, maybe he was due for a bad game, I guess you could say. But now we've seen two that haven't been as good as we really expected, especially here in the playoffs where he's been rock steady for us, you know, especially when Brunson has come off the court. So that's another little concern, but, you know, I'm sure he'll turn it around. You know, history says that he will simply because he's a very good shooter now. You know, he's been proving it this season that he can shoot the ball well, and I'm sure he's going to bounce back.
I just thought of something. Like, if you're going to start Precious in the starting five, your bench is kind of small because you're going to bring in Burks, possibly Burks or Shake Milton, who are, you know, guards. And Deuce, those are 2 guards. So do you think Sims will get some run or some spot minutes here and there to give, you know, our guys a breather? It's going to be funky. I mean, it's going to be funky. And I was even thinking of maybe, I don't know, starting Deuce. Tom Thibodeau can go many ways in the starting five in game three. But if you start Deuce, obviously someone has to get relegated to the bench. But yeah, I'm going to be interested. Like, I think it's going to be Precious all in all, but our bench is going to be small. I don't know. What do you think about it? It's just something I just thought about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, if you really think about it a little bit further, it's kind of a good point. You know, we've saw a lot of Jericho Sims starting earlier on, you know, before in the season. Yeah. Obviously, iHeart's emergence changed all of that, but you know, I think Sims could possibly get some meaningful minutes. You know, we need bodies, man. You know, I don't think you can run, you know, 6-7 guys out there and just, you know, survive that way, in my opinion. You know, I really do think Jericho Sims might see some minutes this next game.
Yeah, a few people in the chat agree as well. LV, what's going on, LV? I can see Sims getting some minutes. It's going to have to happen. We started Deuce without OG in the regular season. Yeah, we did. LV says Precious will start. I see Sims and Burks and Deuce off the bench. Yeah. Look, it kind of, this OG Anunoby injury kind of forces Dibs to go eight because, you know, you obviously need some, like a scoring punch off the bench, and you kind of, you hope to get that with Alec Burks. I mean, I'm hoping Alec Burks has like a 15 or 20 resurgence. Playoff Burks, big money Burks. This is the time to arrive, big money. Big money AB, you know? And look, if he does, I'll be ecstatic. But yeah, you kind of need a big off the bench to kind of, you know, give Hartenstein a rest and give Precious a rest here and there. So yeah, the more I'm thinking about it, the more, and people in the chat agree as well. I think it's Sims and Chris, and Chris, he's quick on his feet too. Like, he's not like, Sims can guard, you know?
Yeah. Not only that, you know, I think he'd be good, you know, I think he'd be great, actually, simply because he has that bounce. You know, he has that quick bounce. He's going to be able to go get us some rebounds, maybe some offensive boards. And if not, at the least, maybe he's somebody who can put a body on Siakam, you know, and maybe get him off his spots a little bit, make him have some trouble. Because as is, you know, we saw late in this game, too, where Siakam started to kind of get into a flow and start hitting some shots for them. So, you know, everybody's projecting Siakam to have a big game three. It's going to take a team effort, in my opinion, but I think Sims could be part of that solution as well.
Yeah, so, you know, it's going to be funky. It's going to be different, but all hands on deck in Indiana. Look, we've been dealing with this all year, and players have stepped up in their role, in their position. That's what makes this Knicks team so fun to watch and so such a resilient group. All we need to do is get one in Indiana. Game three is going to be dealt. There's going to be a lot of emotions in game three. But look, in game three, in the first round, the Knicks were kind of hanging in there. And then the 76ers had that blow up third quarter, if you remember. And Beach shouldn't have even been in the game. But
right,
yeah, Knicks, check this stat out. The Knicks are 5-0 when trailing at halftime this postseason.
Wow.
Talk about third quarter of doom. Not these playoffs.
Yeah.
It seems like the Knicks are going in halftime, and I don't know what they're doing in the locker room, but keep on doing it because it's working. You know? 5-0 when trailing at halftime this postseason.
Yeah. I mean, they hinted at that in a few broadcasts as well. They were like, you know, I don't remember if they were just interviewing a coach or somebody, but they were like, basically saying the Knicks get stronger as the games go on. You know, the later the game goes on, the Knicks' effort just goes up, 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 up. And we saw that in game two with the Pacers, this Pacers game. You know, the Indiana Pacers again outscored the Knicks in bench points. They damn near almost out-rebounded the Knicks. I think they had more offensive boards.
Yeah.
But the Knicks in the fourth quarter got five huge offensive boards. And when you look at the stats, you wouldn't be able to tell it. But if you look at those fourth quarter stats late in this game, that's when the Knicks imposed their will and basically stole game two from the Pacers. So look, that's our MO, right? We never stop fighting. We just keep playing till the end.
We were punking the Pacers. We were out hustling them. We were just doing what we do best. Exactly what we've been doing all season long. Take a look at this graphic here. Most offensive rebounds this playoffs, 28. Josh Hart has 28 and 27 in Isaiah Hartenstein. Another thing, I mean, we haven't even touched on Isaiah Hartenstein, but I thought, first of all, game two, I think that was OJ Anunoby's best game as a New York Knick. From start,
yeah,
dominant. They could not guard this man, and that's what makes his injury suck even more. But he was getting wherever he wanted. His three-point shot was falling. But overlooking that was kind of Hartenstein. I think he was like two assists away from a triple-double. And yeah, he's given, I mean, he's outplayed Turner for sure. I mean, Turner was a no-show in game two. So Turner was another one who kind of talked after game one and didn't really do anything in game two. So Knicks don't really have an issue getting out to Turner, but it's Isaiah Hartenstein, bro. It's this man, the assist, the rebounds, the push shot is like automatic. So
I love it, man. I mean, look, I was a little bit concerned with iHeart, especially after the 76ers series where, let's be real, man. I mean, look, Embiid was MVP for a reason.
Yeah.
And he was just taking it to iHeart. But in this Pacers series, started a little slowly, but look, in game two, what I noticed the most is that the Knicks are finally taking advantage of iHeart and his passing abilities. You saw it. They'd give him the ball at the top, and he'll just find the open man, you know? And that's the beautiful thing about iHeart. Very underrated passer. And he showed out in game two. And we're going to need more of that in game three. So I think that's an X factor for us right there.
And Dante DiVincenzo dominated the Indiana Pacers in the regular season. And he is doing that in these first couple of games. He's been dominant. 28.6 rebounds, 6 three-pointers, 3 straight 20-point games for Dante DiVincenzo. He has looked incredible. And what I love is that even he's guarding Haliburton for the most part. He did a great job in game one, but he's being like aggressive too. And
the
Villanova trio, obviously, as we know, has been like a gift. I mean, they've been absolutely incredible. Hart, I think, hasn't sat in 10 straight quarters or something like that. I have a graphic here about Josh Hart, but he's averaging 48.2 minutes per game over the last 5 games. He hasn't sat in 10 straight quarters, but look, he doesn't care. He's built for it. He's conditioned. But yeah, Chris, Dante, he's been awesome, right?
As advertised, yeah. Right? We were saying that Dante was going to be one of the keys to the series. He was going to be a flamethrower, you know? I think he averaged, 23-point-something points per game against Indy. And we just said, hey, if he does a little more of that, we're going to be great. And he has. He's answered the bell, and he's hitting threes. He's hitting big shots. But more importantly, he's driving into the paint and finishing too. And his defense on Halley has been great. And look, if he was able to shut down Maxey, he should have success against Haliburton, and we're seeing it. So, again, we're going to need more of the same. And Tibbs let it be known. He didn't really specify what it is or what it was, but Dante's also battling an injury, you know, that he's playing through. So our guys are just warriors, man.
Yeah, it's getting to that. It's like why? Like, it's like blow after blow, but we just keep on getting it done. Like, it's kind of like the it's kind of like in the back of your mind, you're like, damn, like, think about this. The Knicks, first of all, I have a picture of Rick Carlisle, a crying face, by the way. He's crying. That's what he was doing yesterday at the podium, just crying. But think about this screen grab. Yeah, I actually kind of edited his face a little bit to make him look like he was crying. So, but think about this. This is the worst Knicks team that we're going to see possibly in the next couple of years. And we are 2 wins away from the Eastern Conference Finals with major pieces out.
Yeah.
All of our draft picks in our bag. Major pieces still on the roster, just hurt. And we're doing this still. That's what makes this even sweeter. Like, this is just the beginning. And it's not even over yet. So it's crazy, right?
Yeah. It's insane, man. I think about that a lot, and then I pause myself. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stay in this moment. It's about right now. I don't want to think about next season or the season after that. You know, I just want to stay focused on what I'm seeing now and enjoy it, you know? I think that's the thing. A lot of fans, we like to dream and we like to think about, you know, what's up and coming. But look, stay in the moment. And just enjoy this Knicks squad and what they're doing, man, because it's special. It's special, man. We all the doubters out there, everybody said we're going to be a first round exit. You know, no way we're going to even get to the same point we were at last season. Basically saying we were a fluke, you know. And with all the injuries and whatnot, you probably would have thought it. But look, here we are, two games away from the Eastern Conference Finals. Come on, man. Come on, man.
And then, and look, I know it's only one game, but that's 550 brought it up in the chat. Cavs cooked the Celtics tonight. So it's just, look, they can be, I don't know. I want to, it's first of four, right? First of four, then we can get there. But we are there. We are almost there. And we are just almost there, knocking at the door for the Eastern Conference Finals. But we just got to figure out how to close this series out without an Ananobi for these next couple of games. But as long as we got Brunson, and I think Precious would do a great job in that starting five. I actually think he would guard. Like, I'm sure the Precious is the type of player that, like, there was times where he was struggling a bit versus Siakam in game two. But he's the type of player that, obviously, he knows Siakam from, like, the Toronto days. He's the type of player to actually, like, study and go back in the lab and figure out what he did wrong and then improve on that the next game. That's Precious, which is why, like, obviously when Mitch went down, it sucked. But which is why, like, I was like, okay, Precious has been stepping up for a long time when Mitchell Robinson was out. So I have all the faith in the world in Precious. All the faith in the world is in Precious. So don't you feel the same way? Like, it's...
Yeah.
Even though he's offensively challenged, but it just, like, his chemistry with Hartenstein, and I just love it when I see him out there.
That's it. And look, again, it goes back to the whole, you know, next man up mentality that the Knicks have. You know, it's up and down the entire roster. When Precious comes in there, you don't even bat an eye because you know he's going to stay within his game and do, you know, play his part. You know, like Tibbs always says, these guys know how to play their part. And they don't try to do too much. They don't try to go above or beyond what they're supposed to do. They just stick to the plan. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to Precious coming out there, look, you know you're going to get what? Hard-nosed defense, high motor. And even on the offensive side, he's going to bang in the paint and attack the rim when he gets his chances. You know, we've seen – how many times have we seen Precious drive out from the perimeter or on a fast break, you know, trailing a fast break and just – get an easy dunk or dunk on somebody at that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we can expect from Precious, and that's what he's going to deliver in game three. I have no doubt about it.
All right, so I want to give you guys some hope here from Mr. Alec Burks. So February 10th versus the Indiana Pacers. I believe that was the first game we acquired Alec Burks. I believe so. He dropped 22 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 7 of 14 shooting, and 4 of 7 from 3 and 4 of 4 from the line. That is this year. He dropped 22 points against the Pacers.
Was that the game where he went off late in that game in the fourth quarter where he hit like 4 of 7, I think it was, or something like that, from 3?
I think so.
That's crazy. I didn't know that was against the Pacers.
Yeah, hold on. Let me. This is from StatMuse. So I'm on StatMuse's website. So the game is obviously right here. It's February 10th, 22 points. I believe it was the first game after we acquired Alec Burks. So, look, Pacers obviously, they don't play defense, right? So I think if Burks can come in here, 10, 15 minutes, hit a couple of threes. Maybe do a few and ones.
Hey, man. It's not out of the realm of possibility, in my opinion, man. Like you said, look, we're seeing a lot now, and I think we're going to see this in game three a lot. They're going to rush Jalen Brunson, try to get the ball out of his hands. And why not have AB in one of those corners, you know? Maybe when they start doing that, they take out Precious, whatever it may be, insert Alec Burks, put him in that corner, kind of go small a little bit. And then you got AB shooting that corner three, which he's supposed to hit at a high clip. Come on, maybe that's the resurgence right there, you know? Who'd you rather have taking that shot? Precious or AB? No matter. As bad as he's been.
Obviously AB, but I'm trying to speak it into existence. I'm trying to get everyone, you know, hype in the chat. I'm trying to, you know, speak a great Alec Burks in existence in game three, because also he has some playoff experience too. So yeah. I know it's going to be hard for him to just get thrown out there and like score 10 points for us, Mr. Burks, but he had a great game against Indiana this year. So him along with Sims, I think off the bench, I think, look, next man up mentality, we've been doing it all year, and I think the guys are ready. I think the guys are ready, Chris. So,
yeah. And look, hey, that includes Alec Burks as well, you know?
Yeah.
You know he's going to be ready to go out there and play no matter what. You know, he got in there for 44 seconds, right? Almost a minute. He still got a jumper off in that 44 seconds at that. So, look, he's going to be out there, and I'm sure, you know, whether it's a minute or 44 seconds, you know, hopefully it's a good – he's good in those minutes, man. I don't know. But it's going to be interesting.
He will be good in those minutes.
Hey, man. It's going to be interesting to see what Tibbs decides to do, man. Because, like, look, you can't just run six guys out there.
No.
You can't. You know, especially the pace that they're playing. Look, I know Josh Hart is conditioned to do it. Dante is. Obviously, Brunson as well. But those other guys are going to be gassed, man.
Yeah, but, you know, Terrence in the chat says Jericho Sims should also get someone. Yeah, we talked about it, Terrence. I think Jericho Sims, we kind of, like, talked it through, and it just makes sense because if you start Precious, you're kind of small off the bench. So your big off the bench would have to be a Sims to kind of match their Isaiah Jackson, their Obi Toppin, who has actually had a sneaky good series. It's like whenever this dude is open, he's cashing his three. Yeah. You could tell he wants to have a good series versus the Knicks. So,
yeah,
we're going to be small off the bench. That's why we kind of talked it through and brought up Sims. But,
yeah. I think this is a good series for Sims, right? If you were ever going to use Jericho Sims, I think this would be one where you'd use it. Even if it becomes a thing where, like, if Precious or iHeart get into foul trouble, you know, you bring in Sims. You know, I could see it in that scenario as well, but I think it'll be good for us no matter what. We definitely need the bodies out there, that's for sure.
Yeah. John in the chat says, just worry about the guys we do have. We have enough. Got to get it done. Just two more wins. The Knicks are up 2-0 in this series. Like, it'll be obviously a different conversation if it was 1-1. But at the end of the day, we took care of home court. We just have to win two more games. And the next two are in Indiana. Tough place to play. But I wouldn't put it past this New York Knicks team to go in there and steal one. Like, I wouldn't. And you know they're going to want to. So,
yeah. I think game three is the one to steal, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, look, similar to the 76ers series, the pressure is on Indy right now. You know, Knicks are up 2-0. Going into Indy, yes, I know Indy's going to be loud. You know, they're going to be all ramped up, especially after the Carlisle comments and whatnot. You know, them against the entire NBA, basically. It's going to be crazy. But the pressure is still on Indiana. Oh, yeah.
They got to win.
And look, I'm sorry, but Tyrese Halliburton's out there in game one and basically no-shows game one. Game two comes out there. The thing is, I wasn't as impressed, you know? He was being more aggressive out there, going for the little floaters and whatnot. But look, let's be real. The majority of his shots came on, you know, offensive boards that were tipped out by the Pacers. You know, credit to them for doing so. They were controlling the boards for the majority of game two. But there were wide open looks from three, man. Almost anybody out there in the NBA is going to hit a wide open three.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like he took over the game or anything. And that's kind of where I'm kind of going with it. Game two, when Jalen Brunson leaves, Tyrese Halliburton should have stepped up and took over that game and got the Pacers up 20 or something like that. But instead, he's been kind of passive, man, in my opinion. This is the guy they chose over JB for Team USA. And then Brunson comes back out in game two. The Pacers got shook. and he just takes over the game and leads the Knicks to a game two victory, you know?
Yep.
I mean, look, all the pressure is on Indy right now. And whether they're home or not, I think they don't want to see the Knicks, man. Even without OG Anunoby.
Look, yeah, I mean, Celtics are at least going five games now. I mean, look, they lost today. So if the Knicks can get tomorrow and kind of just wrap this series up quickly, you kind of like buy yourself an extra like week or week and a half until the next round. But obviously don't want to get too ahead of myself and whatnot. John says, sorry, I'd rather put Shake in than Burke. Shake is younger, more of a chance of him going off.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing, you know, I agree. I always want to say, hey, you signed somebody, why not give them a chance?
Yeah.
And we haven't seen too much of Shake. And there's been moments where you could probably say, throw Shake in there, right? But I think with Tibbs, it comes that trust factor, right? And when you go kind of put yourself in the mentality of Tibbs, is if you got Alec Burks on one side and then Shake Milton on the other one, which one is he going to pick out of those two? I think it's going to be Burks, simply because there's been some, you know, positives in the past with them together. So yeah. I think he'd always go Burks first and Shake. I could be wrong. I would love to be wrong because I think Shake can actually help us out. Thought he could have helped us out in the 76ers series as well.
Yeah, I like the things we saw from Shake. But yeah, like Chris said, it's the trust factor. And I think since we saw a glimpse of Burks in game two, I think in game three, that who is going to be the guy coming in off the bench. Kind of reset the rumor a little bit. We talked about, you know, obviously the game two heroics of JB. Appreciate every single one of you in here tonight. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel. We are obviously doing a little preview on game three right now, just trying to find rotations and trying to figure out what the starting five is. I think we kind of already know what the starting five is, but obviously we're just trying to find out the rotations off the bench, the Sims, the, you know, the Burks, Deuce needs to step up for us, especially, you know, now that, you know, Jalen Brunson is questionable. But yeah, this has been a magic carpet ride. This season has been absolutely incredible, and it's just getting started, in my opinion. I know we're dealing with a lot of injuries right now, but, you know, just still, it's an incredible season, incredible playoffs for the New York Knicks, incredible ride for the Villanova crew, incredible ride for everybody, the coaching staff, and it ain't over. It ain't over. I know people feel down about this Anunoby injury. I kind of felt down today, but it's just like, why? Like, why him? Like, damn, man. He was just off his best game as a Knick. But, yeah.
Yeah, it sucks, man. It sucks, man. Especially because of that. You know, look, OG Anunoby could have dropped easily 35, 40 points that game the way he was going, man. I mean, look. Ultimately, yes, we needed Brunson because, you know, the Pacers were making a run, even with OG out there playing the way he was. So, look, obviously, Brunson is the key piece here. So, I'm happy he's okay or seems to be okay, at least for the meantime. And OG Anunoby, man, look, I didn't know he had the baggie he brought out. It didn't look pretty at times, but, man, he was scoring, man. So, shout out to OG Anunoby. I hope he gets better soon. Look, yeah. We obviously know he's not going to be out there game three. Game four is probably looking like he won't be out there either, but the Knicks are keeping things, you know, tight-lipped. There's still no real news as to what exactly is wrong with his hamstring. You know, I've been seeing a few videos with some doctors out there saying, hey, if it's a high sprain, it might be a quicker recovery. If it's a lower one, then he might be out for a little while. So we don't know what it is yet, but hopefully it's a higher side hamstring pull.
Knicks 100 GM, what's going on? Hart told Reggie to his face what the crowd was saying. It was just crazy. Like in game two, the Knicks faithful in the MSG arena all collectively got together and chanted F Reggie Miller, pretty much, with Reggie Miller in the building. And by the way, the commentary, I think Stan Van Gundy, I used to like Stan Van Gundy in the broadcast, but it's just him, the combination of him with Reggie, I was just like, oh, there obviously was pacer bias there, and but oh, yeah. I thought, and then Josh Hart went up to Reggie Miller after and said, "I think they said F you."
That so. Caught me off guard, man. When, yeah. when Josh Hart went up there and just dropped the F bomb on him, I was like, "Yo, Josh Hart is crazy, man. That's a real one right there, man." And it's tough to believe. Man, I have a hard time believing that so many teams gave up on Josh Hart, man.
I know.
You talk right? about a throwback type of player that's just out there hustling, grabbing every board at 6'4". I mean, out rebounding Ihart for offensive boards, you know, this playoffs. It's insane, man. You can't give – I got to get me a Josh Hart jersey, man. Yeah, I got to get me a Josh Hart jersey, man. That dude is the epitome. He's the heart and soul of this team, man. For look, Jalen Brunson is the head of the snake, but down to the heart, that's no pun intended, Josh Hart.
Yes, indeed. I got to get myself a Hart jersey too. The only two players in NBA history to total 285-plus points and 65-plus assists through the first 8 games of a postseason, Michael Jordan and Jalen Brunson. End of list.
It's crazy.
What we're witnessing from Jalen Brunson is truly remarkable. Like, I didn't think he would be this great. Like, signing him, I knew he was good, but this great? I think everyone's lying to themselves if they thought he was going to be this great.
No, yeah. I mean, look.
It's speechless.
Nobody out there. Nobody yeah. out there thought yeah. he was going to be this good. Look, obviously, when he was signed by the Knicks, you know, it was lukewarm at best what everybody was thinking, you know. Some people thought he was going to be the backup point guard. He was just, you know, a holdover until we signed that big, you know, free agent point guard or disgruntled point guard star out there. Nah, man. Jalen Brunson came in here and quickly at that showed us that he got what it takes, man. It's not going to be Ant Edwards out there, you know, overpowering you with, you know, high leaping ability and, you know, all the flashiness. You know, Jalen Brunson is doing it his way. You know, he might not be the most athletic guy out there or the tallest, but, man, he's getting results.
Like, yeah, John said coming into this year, the Knicks said that there was going to be another level they think Jalen Brunson can reach. And boy, has he reached that level. He had a great season last year, top 5 in MVP voting this year. Scary. It's scary.
So, he just gets better and better every season, man. I mean, look, again, I don't want to think of head, but damn, imagine if he unlocks another level. You know, maybe it's not offensively. Maybe it's playmaking wise. You know, maybe he takes that to another step or something.
He's been assisting this year. Yeah.
No, yeah, for sure. You definitely see the playmaking go up, but he can get even better.
Yeah. And he will. He will. As long as JB, I said it before the playoffs, as long as we got number 11, we got a shot. And boy, exactly. Have the New York Knicks just – played absolutely incredible. Still got 2 more to go. I think we'll get a split in Indiana. I guess these next 2 games, like, what are your kind of expectations from the squad? I know dealing with the Anunoby injury, we talked about it, you know, some, yeah. But I mean, it's literally like what I expect is literally what they've been doing. I expect them to go out there and get a split in Indiana.
Yeah.
It's a tough place to play, though.
I think it's going to be a split. I mean, I want them to get game 3 simply just because then you're really in the driver's seat there, yeah. You know? Then you're talking about they basically have to play perfect ball and win out in order to come back in the series, and they're going to be demoralized if they go down 3-0. That's why I want it. I want game 3. I'm not going to say it's a must win, but it's damn near close to there for me at least, you know, especially with, you know, like you mentioned, if we are able to somehow close this in 4 games, that'd be fantastic simply because we can rest our guys, right? Mm-hmm. But I'll take 5 games too. So, you know, that's what I'm thinking. And we've seen, in my opinion, we've seen the best punch the Pacers are going to give, in my opinion. Look, they came into MSG. Their bench played out of their minds basically in both games. One game, Halliburton didn't show up. The second game, he did show up, which all Pacers fans were crying about. Oh, Hallie didn't do nothing. You just wait till he drops 30. He dropped 30 and we still won. We still won. So in my opinion, how much further could they go as far as like improving offensively? You know, they don't play defense. And I think, again, that's going to be the key to this series. The Knicks can hang with them. The Knicks can score with them. And prior to OG and Anunoby's big offensive game, you know, OG was scoring like 10, 12, 13 points. I think somebody else off the Knicks bench can give us that. If not as one player, as a collective bench unit.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, the Knicks are in a good spot, man. We're in a good spot.
We are. Just get one. Game three, obviously, is the one you want to get. Go up 3-0. Kind of, you know, I have a poll in the YouTube chat. Are you concerned about the Knicks' health woes? 75 votes, yes. Is that 61%? No, we'll be fine. Is that 31%? So, look, at some point, it's like injury after injury, right? Injury after injury. But I think Deuce has to have a great game in game three, kind of have like a coming out party in this series. And I really think he will have a coming out party in this series because had such a great round one, was playing incredible, hit some clutch, timely threes, Deuce McBride. So against the Pacers, really haven't seen that yet, but I feel like it's coming. I really do feel like it's coming. And typically role players, you know, they play better at home. So I was kind of like weird to see Deuce, you know, with the scoring numbers be low. But I just feel like it's coming. But it's the little things that obviously the Knicks still have to clean up stuff. Pacers go full court press every possession. And it seems like the Knicks still struggle to inbound the ball at times, which is like
maddening at this point.
Pull my hair out. But yeah, it's just little things like that. And the simple crossover from McConnell, he's literally going left to right and crossing. You got Brunson a couple of times. You got Deuce a couple of times. So simple stuff like that they got to clean up.
I mean, look, when he does it, when T.J. McConnell does it to Brunson, okay. You know, Brunson's not a fantastic defender. Yeah. When he starts to do it and it's on Deuce McBride, that's why I said, like, you know, it was a little concerning because, yeah, you're okay. You're not hitting your shots. You're going to have some nights where you're not hitting shots.
Yeah.
But his bread and butter is that defense. And when T.J. McConnell is just bopping Deuce McBride and Deuce McBride is, like, chasing after McConnell, who's not a speedster by any stretch of the imagination, I mean, that drives me a little bit crazy, man. So, look, I don't know what's up with Deuce. Maybe he was just due for a few bad games after the 76ers series.
It's coming.
But
it's coming.
It's, yeah, exactly.
It's coming.
I highly doubt he's going to stay, you know, 4 points the rest of this entire series.
Yeah, it's coming. You know? It's coming.
He's going to get back to his usual self.
It is coming. Sammy on the chat says, do we think Precious can handle Pascal for the rest of the series? Now, Pascal's a great player. Like, it's like, I think he can kind of like limit him a little bit, but obviously Pascal's going to, I think the Pacers are going to come out game three and try to get Pascal Siakam involved early and try to, you know, get the ball moving, surrounded Pascal Siakam. But look, Precious has shown us that he's a good defender. He's capable of it. So I think Precious will, the task at hand, I think Precious is built for the challenge. All right, Chris, want to do some trivia?
Let's do it. Are you ready?
You ready for some trivia? Those in the chat, we do a trivia every single podcast episode. This week, Chris is asking me a question, and you guys in the chat can chime in as well.
All right. So we got some NBA draft-related question here for you. Which spot was Dante DiVincenzo drafted in the 2018 NBA draft? Was it A, second round, pick 31, B, first round, pick 15, C, second round, pick 33, or D, first round, pick 17?
Dante was drafted by Milwaukee, right?
That's right.
And I'm pretty sure it was in the first round.
Sure about that?
I don't think it was. He was a second round pick. Don't try to throw me off, man.
I'm just saying, man. Just making sure you think about everything here.
2018 NBA draft, a second round pick. All right, so I'm going to eliminate the second round picks because I don't think it was the second round picks. Mm. So to me, it's either pick 15 or pick 17 in the first round. And boy, oh boy, I want to say pick 15, but something's telling me pick 17. Oh, I know he was in the mid rounds. I'm going to go. I see people in the chat try to help me out. Everyone, it seems like the collective answer is D. Man Overboard says it's D, no Diddy. So
no Diddy.
I'm going to trust you guys in the chat, but I do think it's a first round, and I'm going to go D, final answer.
D, final answer. So first round pick 17 for Dante. You are correct, sir.
There we go. There we go. Let's go, chat.
Pick 15 in the first round actually was Troy Brown Jr. to the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, and he was picked by round 17 pick. By the Bucks, right? Dante. I mean, first round, excuse me.
Yep, first round pick 17 was Dante to the Bucks. There's a little Knicks Easter egg in there as well. You know, second round pick number 33, none other than our guy, Jalen Brunson. Mm.
Ortiz is a second round pick 31. Chris always tries to throw me off with these, man. Second round pick, round 31. S550 says we ain't going to let you down, man. Appreciate y'all in the chat, man. Appreciate y'all in the chat. But... yeah, it's funny how Dante has kind of been passed around the league too, and Josh Hart. You know, Dante, yeah. Milwaukee, Golden State. It's like you find the right spot, you find the right team, culture, and things can work out. And boy, have they worked out for Dante and the Villanova trio.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I actually forgot Dante was a first round pick, and look, Josh Hart was as well. I think in the 2017 draft, you know, he was the 15th pick,
yeah,
by the Lakers at that. So look, two guys. I mean, look, I'm glad they're on the Knicks, but it's insane how many teams, you know, passed up on them.
And now they are on the New York Knicks, and now we are two wins away from the Eastern Conference Finals, and we will get this split down in Indiana.
Yes,
sir. Have faith in the bench. Have spread positivity vibes towards Burks. I feel like he can do it. He had a good game versus Indiana Pacers this season, and I feel like he will do it, and he will do it. And obviously led by our master, Jalen Brunson. We'll get it done. We got this, guys. We got it.
Yeah.
Two wins.
Look, I have all the confidence, you know. Look, obviously, the injury bug is hitting us, and that sucks. It always sucks. I know Knicks fans are concerned. I am as well. But look, I still think we have more than enough, especially after what we've seen in game one and game two from these Pacers. Look, it's as advertised, right? Pacers can score. They're going to run up and down the court. They play a little bit tougher than you would probably expect, but at the end of the day, their defense just isn't as good as what the New York Knicks have on the opposite side. So that's it, in my opinion.
That is it. All right, couple of channel announcements. Yeah, so if you guys want to do so, you can support us by becoming a member for as low as $2.99 a month. It really supports the Knicks Nation channel. We got behind-the-scenes access. I do my game previews over there. So you guys can support us by becoming a member. Also partnered up with Autograph app. Use code NYK to get access to the Autograph app. They have Knicks content in the app. We're in there. A bunch of Knicks content creators in there. They do giveaways. They did a Knicks playoff ticket game two giveaway for game two. So they do those giveaways. They do jersey giveaways. So autograph, you know, hit the app, use the NYK code, and as you were in there, and you can, you know, like futz around with it and whatnot. And also the Discord is open. Chris and I are in the Discord. So it's fun, man. It's not done. Job ain't finished. We still got two more. We'll get it done in Indiana. Appreciate every single one of you joining us here tonight. This has been fun. This is episode 52.
Wow. In the books.
52 of the Knicks Nation podcast.
It's crazy. Time flies, man.
It is crazy. And we ain't finished.
We ain't finished. We are just getting started, man. Yes. Just getting started.
Just getting started. All right. Game three. Let's do it. Let's get it done. Go up 3-0. Take Indiana's soul. Make them take cry it. Even more. Make Rick Carlisle say something else in the media. So, jeez, man. What's a crybaby?
Can't believe it, man. Yeah. But, you know, as always, it's Let's Go Knicks.
Let's Go Knicks. I'm Anthony from Knicks Nation. Appreciate every single one of you in here.
I'm Chris.
We'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.